Okay, Take G, you're on. I'm back on. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. But actually, you mispronounced my handle. It's actually Takeg.
Okay, Takeg.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell us anything about yourself, or what did you want to talk about?
Well, why not? First of all, do you recognize my voice?
Sounds a little bit familiar.
Oh.
No.
Well, that's all right. Let me give you a hint. Star Trek.
George Takei?
That's right. Boy, you got very good. It must have been a long time since you've heard my voice. But yes, that is me. I am George Takei.
Okay. Well, this, I guess, is the movement turd history here. I'm sort of surprised as to why you're talking to a racist character here in the Midwest here.
Let me explain. Every now and then, one of my favorite things to do is go on Google just to put in my own name. And when I did, I got one of those search results from Hal Turner. And I didn't know who Hal Turner was at the time. But he was saying some very vile things about, me coming out of the closet. And if you know, a couple of years ago, I came out of the closet and announced that I was gay. And apparently, the next day, Hal Turner posted on his blog a lot of very nasty and vile things about me. So I went looking and I went researching. And one of the sites that was connected to this blog, connected to this talk show, I guess, went ahead and posted a link, and so I clicked it, and I guess it's my understanding that Hal has been incarcerated, so I've just kind of been looking for any links to Hal Turner, maybe, just to address some of the very vile and nasty things that he said about me, because it was very hurtful. So that's how I came to this talk show.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure if I'm being put on or not here. I'm not sure if you're real George Takei, but Hal Turner was essentially, he was a, quote, racial shock jock who hung around the movement, but at the same time, he was a rather greedy, lying retard who was actually as well working for the FBI, and he would be paid. He would be paid not only to rat on and snitch out people, but he would sort of be, it's just like the FBI has over the years. This government, I can't think of any major act of either domestic or foreign-based, quote terrorism, be it Oklahoma City or be it 911, with FBI.
That's very surprising. That's really news to me. I don't really keep up on these things, obviously, but that's really shocking.
That Hal Turner was not only a rat but an agent provocateur.
Well, maybe not just Hal. I'm not familiar with Hal Turner, but like you were saying, Oklahoma City or 9/11, and just how many people, as you say, are. Supposedly plants or undercover folks, as you would say. I'm not familiar with it, but that's very shocking and frightening news.
Okay, what this show is about is it's devoted to, mainly dual feline Christianité, which is a racial religion. Generally, this show, unlike most of white nationalism, is most of the time just a con job, be it David Duke or the rest. It's designed to go ahead and put some money, in the fearless leader's pockets and make him rich. This show is about essentially exposing so-called white nationalist leaders and frauds and liars and kooks and weirdos, and essentially urging people that since this government, this form of government, the world we live in, is pretty well doomed by the Great Tribulation, to tell ordinary white people to stop bothering, to go ahead and get in trouble, to go ahead and do something stupid, essentially see the handwriting on the wall, and to go ahead and save themselves. And pretty well, Hal Turner, you know, I used to be aligned with this character who would hang around Hal Turner, and the guy was a total nutcase, and he pretty well betrayed me. But from what I gather, Hal Turner didn't actually send too many people in actual jail. Most of the time, nowadays, what you end up having is that you end up having the FBI going to some Negro or some Arab kid in this country, and essentially giving them a bunch of, quote, sort of instruction on how to make car bombs, even though they know how to make them real good in Iraq and Afghanistan. Somehow they don't know how to go ahead. They give them an inert thing, and then they go ahead and they bust this great terrorist plot, and then they go ahead and use that as an excuse to have more and more and more, well, control over the economy and over the people, over these false front accusations. And Hal Turner was essentially one of these little characters. And from what I gather, he got $100,000 a year to go ahead and snitch out people. And he didn't really seduce anybody. But what he did is he supposedly threatened three federal judges for ruling against gun rights. And essentially, he got sentenced, I think, to 3 years in prison. Now he's in a halfway house. And from my Gary, he's not allowed to be on the internet for a number of years. And there's a lot of people. Hal Turner was probably the best showman of the entire bowel movement, as I say, but he was just a lying scumbag without any morals, without any scruples, but who did have a measure of personal bravery. Last year, he threatened some Connecticut lawmakers. He fired his public pretender, took the case himself. And he managed to go ahead and convince him this was a First Amendment case that he wasn't able to do with a lawyer, a public pretender in a federal case. So.
Wow.
So you didn't know all that about Hal Turner?
I didn't know any of that. All I knew about Hal Turner was that he's very anti-gay and said some very hurtful things about me. But this has been, I'll tell you, Pastor Vincent, this has been very informative. It's been very informative, and I guess I just a couple of questions for you, if that's all right.
Sure.
Well, so you said you are in contact with some people who knew Hal Turner.
I was sort of in contact. What happens is the guy lived in New Jersey. His name was Sci-Fi Faber. Part of the belief that Wesley Swift had is that Negroes were essentially imported from the Dog Star. You know, I mean, Sci-Fi was a complete idiot.
Oh, my. That sounds really far-fetched.
Well, in Christian Identity, I'm a Comparean believer after Bertrand Comparé, but there was some belief, you know, in Christian Identity, there's a belief that in Dual Seed Line is that non-whites were created on the sixth day, that they're the beasts in the field, that they have no souls.
Oh, my.
Generally, you probably inadvertently hooked up with probably the biggest maniac. Yeah, racist maniac. Yeah, in Dogland. Well, I'm not here to give you a hard time. To be honest with you, Mr. Takai, I mean, I did like watching Star Trek. even though a lot of stuff I didn't really like about it here, but
And so what about Star Trek did you most enjoy?
Well, if you go ahead and look at the original series, was essentially a, you know, sort of like a what they call the space opera to where you had a totally different, way of doing things. Old Kirk would go ahead, you know, old Commander Kirk here. And I mean, folks, most of us called it the USS Enterprise because essentially William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy were Jews here, so sometimes we call it the Enterprise. But the original series was a rather, essentially, sort of like a wagon train to the stars, to where you would have a sort of explore. You'd go ahead, essentially boldly go and explore where no man had gone before. And then when you end up having all the later things, you had more and more and more of the, quote, politically correct horseshit, more and more of uniforms and decorations. Just go ahead and look at the shirts that they used to wear. I mean, essentially they just wore black pants and a yellow or red or blue shirt, and didn't wear a lot of stuffy uniforms. And later on, I mean, it just by the uniforms, just by the way of doing things, it was a totally different feel in the 1960s than it was, say, the end of the 90s. And then later on, and by the end of the series, where the Enterprise essentially canceled it because nobody was looking at it anymore, correct?
Well, yeah, that's right. And now, if you might remember, in the original series, we had a saying called infinite diversity, and infinite combinations through that diversity. And
okay.
I don't know, maybe I suppose being a Christian identity pastor, you probably take offense to that.
No, I don't really, to be honest with you, I don't take very much offense to about anything because, you know, people say the Christian identity is arrogant because essentially to us, what other peoples or what other races do don't really matter to us as long as it's not in this country. What you are end up having is that through essentially miscegenation and race mixing, you are having more and more and more people, you know, well, we call them Mamsers here. You have more and more people who are essentially to the same low grade. So therefore, I don't take really any offense. I mean, I'm sort of shocked here that I got a major celebrity, you know, pretty well calling in. And in many cases, this show is quite unusual in that I don't have to go ahead pretend to be a, quote, white supremacist or Christian identity minister because I am what I am. This is a genuine article. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, and I want to make this very clear. I obviously don't agree with you, and as you know, I'm Japanese, and my religion is Buddhist. But I will tell you this, Pastor. My ancestors are Japanese, and I will say this, in Japan, they don't really have much tolerance for, as you say, mixing and immigration and whatnot. So it might be a little bit hypocritical for me to call you out. So I don't agree with you, and I think America is a very diverse country. We're the most diverse country in the world, and I think that we have something here called the First Amendment. And we have to tolerate all of, you know, free speech. We have freedom of ideas, and we have to tolerate all these things. Just as I'll tolerate, I don't think there should be any law that prohibits you, for example, from saying what you're saying. Now, obviously, I don't agree, but again, being of Japanese ancestry, I certainly see where you're coming from. If you understand what I'm trying to say.
Yes, I do. There's a lot of Japanese who, when you go ahead and talk about genetic drift here, supposedly the English and the Janes are very, very close to each other. Well, same thing with the Japanese and the Koreans. But from what I gather, Koreans and Japanese don't much care for each other at all.
Well, that's very true.
You know, and generally there's a lot of Koreans who essentially they're still very, very annoyed at what happened in the years before World War II. And in many cases, you know, you're going to end up having, even among people who supposedly to you may look a lot like, you will end up having a good deal of hatred here. In my particular case, you know, I'm mainly of Swedish descent here with a name like Lindstedt. A number of years ago, my family was, well, my grandchildren were taken and stolen and bought and sold. And then a year later, I was accused on trumped up child molestation charges. Essentially, a policeman got a social worker to claim that my slightly retarded grandson had gone ahead and claimed that I kissed his penis.
Oh,
you know, totally flimsy evidence. And then, you know, the grandchildren were stolen. I was trying to go ahead and get them back. I was suing this particular judge to try to get them back. The local state courts did not give a crap. I mean, essentially all across the plain, government is no longer working like what you read in a textbook or in any other book here. And because I've gone ahead and sued the government quite a few times, you know, and I've lost this latest lawsuit against, Obama. But I'll go ahead and go with it here. Essentially, for 3.5 years, I was sent to a high-security mental health prison.
Is that right?
Yeah. Well, yes, I was very well set in there. And pretty well, I was doped up. And I got 4 of my teeth knocked out by the Newton County police. You know, being taken there for making fun of them. And essentially, during pretty well most of the last of George Bush's administration and all of this Republican Governor of Missouri's administration, I was essentially locked up for nothing more than, you know, than demanding to represent myself and to go ahead and confront my grandson.
Oh my!
And what I had to do is for 2 years, a little bit over 2 years, I was doped up, not greatly doped up, but enough to go ahead and justify keeping me incarcerated in a mental health facility. And then I went ahead and found a new doctor. They were tired of me. I mean, I was not a very nice prisoner. I would cause a good deal of trouble. I was, you know, a high functioning nut. Eventually, I went ahead and convinced this doctor to discontinue the forced medication, got sent back to Newton County, demanded to be able to represent myself, and once I was able to represent myself, demanded to have access to a law library, and then once I got access to a law library, all the other prisoners wanted to ditch their public pretenders, you know, as well. So essentially, I was, instead of having a $100,000 bond, a ridiculous high bond to keep me from going ahead and representing myself, I was able to go ahead and get out on bond. And at the very first opportunity at the preliminary hearing, the charges had to be dismissed because my grandson essentially said it wasn't true. I still lost 3.5 years of my life, was tortured, got my teeth knocked out, had my family, you know, my little white grandchildren bought and sold. And see, George, I mean, the thing about it is that in real life here, things are pretty well falling apart here. So generally, here I am. I was suing Obama. I was asking that this Missouri statute be dismissed to where essentially declared unconstitutional, because essentially what they did is they would not allow me to run for United States Senator or for governor of Missouri while I was locked up in the nut house. So I said, well, look, you ought to go ahead and declare this law unconstitutional, allow people who are awaiting trial to run for office, either in chains or to in absentia. And the second one is that because I'm a, quote, white supremacist, according to the Missouri Republican and Democrat and Libertarian Party, so-called libertarians, I'm not allowed to run.
Oh, my.
White supremacist as a federal or state candidate. And what
I'll tell you, that doesn't sound like the First Amendment to me.
No, it's not. You know, George, it was only, less than 8 years after the so-called Constitution got amended that there was something called the Alien and Sedition Acts under under John Adams, which said that if you went ahead and criticized the Congress or the President of the United States, but you could criticize, Thomas Jefferson all you wanted to, but if you criticized, essentially the President of the Congress, you could be put in jail. Now, was the Constitution and Bill of Goods of any use then? And the answer is no.
Hmm.
What happens is that essentially the Constitution is meant to do whatever the government wants. And, since I believe that the pure white race is of the Israelites, essentially how the Israelites handled that was through a bloody civil war and revolution and killing their kings and going ahead and send up a new set of kings who would turn out bad. And essentially, I don't believe that government is in any way possible unless you have the ability to go ahead and have civil war all the time. So, George, what I'm saying is that the Constitution and Bill of Goods didn't do me any good. Right now, I've been kicked off the ballot.
Oh, my.
I've been kicked off the ballot as a Libertarian candidate for Newton County because essentially they've gone ahead and passed the law. Now it's determined by a revenue lawyer. And since I didn't go ahead and file an income tax form, that essentially I'm not to be allowed to run. And like I told the Secret Service, when they came to investigate me based upon what some Jews, like Demi Christian Day, said, essentially I said that since I am not allowed to run as a, quote, white supremacist, and since other white supremacists or you would not be allowed to vote for me, therefore there is no representation. There is no real representative government. And therefore, there's no representative government. Therefore, those who are not represented have no obligation to pay taxes, and they have no obligation to obey the laws of a non-representational government. You understand is that supposedly the claim is that this is a Republican form of government, a.k.a. representational democracy. But it isn't. If certain candidates are no longer allowed to run, then I would say that those who are not represented have no obligation to that government.
I see. Well, what you're saying, Pastor Mintz, that, in regards to your story and your experience in jail, these accusations, if they're true, they're shocking and they're appalling. No matter what your beliefs are, I was under the impression that in the year 2012, no American should be subjected to that kind of treatment. Now, if you know something about me, when I was very young, me and my family were taken off to internment camps just because we looked Japanese. And I thought, I was under the impression that those days were long done. But it seems like
George, they were not long done. I mean, in some cases, you had ethnic Germans. If you want to go ahead and, it's on the Hitler Channel before the History Channel. We call it the Hitler Channel because it's all Hitler all the time gives ass what my Jews. I've come up with a number of statements as well, I'm quite an internet personality, but getting on with it. George, the Constitution has never protected anybody at any time, at any place. The only thing that protects anyone essentially is a determination to go ahead and hunt down, you know, criminals and their families who go ahead and violate it. Now, since America, you do agree that America is in steep decline, wouldn't you?
Well, I do agree to a certain extent, and I will agree that the Constitution at points and times hasn't really done a very good job in protecting people, and I am, as you know, I'm living testament to that. As far as the decline goes, I do see things getting. I live in California. I live in Southern California, and I live quite well, but I do see. How shall I say this? The spiritual and economic state of just the everyday American seems to be getting worse and worse, and it's really quite frightening.
And
if you understand what I'm trying to say.
Well, yes, I do understand. To me, someone ill, I believe that this matter will be taken care of by the Great Tribulation. Now, what the Great Tribulation is that, you know, like Jesus Christ said in Matthew 24, he said that unless there's going to be a great tribulation such as never was and never will be again. And unless Jesus Christ returns, there should be no flesh to be saved. So pretty well the Protestant view is in the book of Revelations, from Revelations chapter 4 to Revelations chapter 18, you have 7 years. The first 3.5 are awful. The last 3 are even worse. By Revelations chapter 18, you have the total economic decline of Zog Babylon, and Zog means Zionist occupation government. Babylon means that, you know, for myself, a Christian, a Comparean, dual seed line Christian identity minister, it means that there have been 3 major Babylons, one under Cain, who was Sargon the Great, one under Nimrod, extending to today, and this last one is Zog Babylon, where you'll have the mixture of the seed of men, and essentially you end up having essentially things ready to implode. Then Revelations chapter 19, where Jesus Christ comes back, you know, in his bloody second coming, there's hardly anybody left alive. And I'm pointing out that is the salvation of the white race. Now, in Christian identity, you end up having a bunch of Jews and a bunch of Catholics and a bunch of papist preterists. And there are several hundred hours of these programs. And by the way, I got kicked off a talk show. I got kicked off a webpage by this one little non-white pretending to be a white supremacist, getting me kicked off of a lot of these, you know, a lot of these shows. And my main forum is whitenationalist.org, and the forum is /forum. And this show is to pretty well say is there is, you know, the only hope essentially is the absolute destruction of the world as we know it today. Don't worry about it. Do not go ahead and get in trouble. Don't go ahead and be plotting any stupid crap. That's why I told these Secret Service agents is that, no, I despised Obama. I didn't think he was an American citizen. But essentially he's the face of the critter that's going to go ahead and essentially destroy America. I think George Bush pretty well, Bush the second, but all of them have gone ahead and brought the thing ahead. Obama is just simply a little caretaker. And I think he's going to win the, you know, selection coming up ahead. But there's nothing, you know, I mean, you're in Southern California. You are seeing $16 billion in debt. And Jerry Brown said, well, if you have any solutions, you tell me. What was his name? Arnold Schwarzenegger, who was an incompetent boob. who essentially
who
let things just run in California. And what is happening in California essentially is that the white population is leaving, the Mexicans are pouring in, and essentially you have endemic structural decline that I don't think can be fixed. Do you see it being fixed?
Well, you know, that's a great question, Pastor Lindstedt, and to be honest with you, I really haven't thought too much about these things. As a matter of fact, this call has been a lot more informative and a lot deeper than I thought it would go. I know things are getting worse and worse here in California. And as I said, me and my partner Brad, we live pretty well. But for the average person, whether they're Mexican or white or Anglo or whatever they are, things do seem to be getting worse, and the infrastructure does appear to be crumbling. So, yes, I mean, I'm a Buddhist, and so I don't agree with Christian identity, as you say it. But despite that, I can at least see some common ground in the fact that things are decaying, they're declining, and it looks as if, in my humble opinion, that things are eventually going to come to a head, and when they do, it's not going to be pretty, I don't think.
How old are you, George? You're in your 60s or 70s?
Well, I'm in my late 70s right now. I'm in my late. Now, a lot of people tell me that I look younger than I am, but I'm in my late 70s.
You look like you're. I guess you do look about 5 or 6 years younger than than what you possibly are.
Well, thank you.
Okay, and see what I'm trying to tell you, Mr. Takai, is that. What happens is that there, people are people. I think white Americans were you're going to have a different form of government than, say, in Japan or in China or in every place. And essentially, the non-whites have prospered under America. But generally, there's only one way for a government to go ahead and get its way, and that's to either go ahead and kill its enemies or imprison them or terrorize them or something. And since they did not trust the loyalty of these Japanese subjects, of their Japanese subjects, they simply went ahead and put them into a camp. And
well, that's true.
The same thing happened to myself. The reason they wanted to go ahead and forced me to have a public pretender is that they could go ahead and then just have a little production, and then essentially I could be railroaded. And essentially I was told by quite a few people the entire thing of the Newton County Police in the state of Missouri was to have me convicted of child molestation and murder as a racist child molester in prison. And, I've even gone ahead and, found out there's been some federal involvement here. And what pretty well keeps me somewhat safe is that essentially, like the Secret Service and the FBI, they go ahead, they read my webpage, and this show is actually listened to quite a bit by the FBI and the Southern Poverty Law Center and the ADL. The reason is listened to is that after 19 years, I know pretty well about everybody or as about everybody in this particular bowel movement or this white supremacist movement. And to be honest with you, about the only one who I have even just a portion of any respect for is one Harold Covington, who believes that essentially white people ought to move to Oregon, Washington, Idaho, Western Montana, and when this nation falls apart, as it will, as this empire falls apart, you have white people go ahead and kill and pretty well take power and set up a white nationalist racist state. I don't agree with that, and the reason I don't agree is that Harold's trying to go ahead and build something, and, sort of like Sodom and Gomorrah, where there's not even 10 righteous men, Harold Covington isn't going to find 1,000 warlords. He's not going to find 500 warlords. He's not going to find 100 or even 50. And essentially, I don't think that his plan is going to go ahead and work. He's right that this country is falling apart. It's going to go ahead and go to chaos. It's going to go to civil war. And so I support something what I call the 10,000 warlords, to when this Armageddon occurs, there's only 10 million white people left on this continent, you know, or at least where America was, and they'll be ruled by 10,000, well, decentralized warlords under a dual seed line Christian identity theocracy while Jesus Christ is, you know, coming. And essentially, it's sort of like the fall, it's sort of based upon the fall of Rome, but decentralized into about 10,000 warlords. Well, I mean, my history is that you probably wouldn't believe this, but in the early 80s, I was in Germany, and I was essentially in fire direction control for ground launch tactical nuclear missiles called the Lance system. I used to go ahead and target you know, nuclear missiles against the Russians in case they went ahead and went across the border. And, you know, ever since then, I guess I've gone ahead and gone a long way from being a loyal soldier for the United States military here quite a bit. I mean, it's sort of laughable. You know, I don't think the United States government would trust me anywhere near nuclear weapons.
Maybe not, but I will say this, Pastor, that if you were as crazy as those people say you are, you probably would have already pushed the button back then.
Well, no. Well, the thing about it is that that's what a lot of people... You have all these people who are talking about launching... You know, I mean, I went ahead and actually got to see it. There are a great deal of control of nuclear weapons. I believe that Iran already has nuclear weapons. I believe that when the Soviet Union fell apart, they just simply bought some of these nuclear warheads, and they're just going through the motions of pretend to scrape fuel rods. They already have nuclear weapons. Way back in the first Gulf War, you know, when they were talking about going against Saddam Hussein's Scud missiles, and they were destroying a Scud missile launcher. But folks, essentially about $100 worth of welded aluminum pipe, essentially marked on, you know, in a regular truck, you can have a perfectly working, you know, missile launcher just simply with a, you know, I mean, a Scud is more like a German V1 missile here. The Lance was actually, you know, the difference between a missile and a rocket is that a missile has a guidance system. A missile has a guidance system. A rocket is, you know, essentially no guidance system. It's just simply aimed on a trajectory. And, you know, pretty well, Korea, Iran, they probably have, oh, the equivalent of a Pershing, you know, a 1980s Pershing missile. And essentially, I believe they already have the nuclear weapons. And increasingly, the American military is overstretched. It's pretty well, it's seen better days. And pretty well, the entire world, not just Southern California, the entire country is pretty well changing, and it's in decline, and this is structural endemic decline, and there is no change. And when these people come by, usually what boils down is that if they arrest me, well, essentially, you know, they don't know what the hell I'm going to say at trial. And unlike all these other people who've been arrested, trumped up on single charges, I just simply come to, you know, pretty well saying is that you destroyed my family. I don't want your money. I don't want an apology. Essentially, I want to put you and your entire family to death. I mean, there's just, you know, essentially there's, know, there's no choice, you know, there's, you know, to me, there's, you know, I mean, it didn't matter that I was not, you know, not guilty of doing anything to my poor retarded grandson. Essentially, they did to me because they were on the side of evil, and I'm on the side of good. And therefore, you don't compromise with evil. You merely destroy that. And you destroy evil people, and you destroy anybody who essentially associates with it. So therefore, when somebody from the government comes to my door, I don't pretend that I like them. I don't pretend that, you know, I don't pretend to have anything to do with them. Essentially, I tell them is that I look forward to skinning them and their children alive. And essentially, if you want to go ahead and bring on the Civil War today, go ahead and bring it on. You know, because I'm not, I mean, after, you know, I tell stories sometimes of what I've seen at the Nut House, and everybody believes me because it's so weird. You know, you can't make this stuff up. I was looking at One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest the other day, and some of it looked like essentially old days at Biggs, you know, at Biggs Maximum Security Nut House here.
This year,
essentially, things are coming to a head. There is no solution. You know, there is just simply no way out until, you know, one side or the other is, you know, goes ahead and exterminates the other. And essentially, what Christian Identity says, and it's a good deal more like Ragnarok, at least in my version of it. You know, I think you've heard some of the Norse, you know, the Swedish,
oh, yeah,
you know, myths, to where essentially, you know, Thor and Odin, you know, the gods and the giants fight each other. At the very end, there's nothing left alive except a man and a woman. And essentially, the cycle begins. You know, I don't know if you've read the Stephen King Black Tower series, to where
I haven't personally read the Stephen King Black Tower series, no.
Okay, but you've heard of it, right?
I most certainly have.
Okay, well, I don't want to exactly spoil the end for you, but at the very end, what happens is that old Roland essentially goes through the cycle again. It's just a big old infinite, you know, closed cycle, to where he ends up going back, you know, to, well, the very first one, through the desert here, the black man, and, you know, black man ran, and the gunfighter followed. And essentially, it goes, you know, by the end of book 7, he just goes ahead and closes the circle. And pretty well the Norse myths were the same, is that at the very end, there's just a man and a woman, the gods and the giants, the evil giants, go ahead and destroy themselves. Well, Christian Identity is somewhat different, but in many cases, at least for someone of Swedish origin like me, I guess I go ahead and bring that to, you know, at least Christian Identity. But then again, that's better than bringing Roman Catholicism and Jews and the rest here, bringing their little particular heresy.
Well, it may be. Well, I agree with you on that point. That's very interesting. I do know a thing or two about Norse mythology. But I just wanted to say this call has gone on a little bit longer than I thought it was. My partner's already come home. So I have to be heading out. It's getting a little bit late here on the West Coast. But it was a pleasure talking to you. And I think I'll tell you this, Pastor. I think you're talented. I think your story is a very interesting one. And I think you ought to consider writing a book. You might even be a bestseller if you would just get on the public forum and tell your story. There might be a lot of people willing to listen to you.
Well, generally what happens is that pretty well about everybody, certainly in Missouri, knows me by sight here. Of course, I'm pretty well about the only long-haired, half-bearded, I have half a beard, character here. I met my evil twin. Actually, it was my good twin. I met him at the Nut House in February 2006 in the Roman Catholic Chapel, where I was trying to get off the board. And essentially, he had half a beard. he was protesting. You know, I was doing it for a sort of religious thing, but also to go ahead and essentially make a point. But he was doing it because he was protesting his two-faced lawyer. He killed his daddy with a claw hammer, and essentially the lawyer, you know, the lawyer said, "Well, hey, you've been in that house before. Why don't you go ahead and essentially say you were nuts?" And oh, he's still in the nut house system. He's a very smart, intelligent man, but he's well, he is somewhat of a maniac here. You know, one time he found out his wife was going ahead cheating on her, so he went ahead and he chased her around the backyard in a small car. They backed her up against this tree, and then hacked off all her hair with the scissors. And then he was belly aching to me is that the Missouri nut house system is a lot worse than the Kansas nut house system. And I said, well, what you should have done is you should have lured your daddy, you know, across the street in Kansas City, Kansas, and killed him there with the claw hammer. And then you'd have, you know, you've had the better conditions at the Kansas State nut house as opposed to the Missouri State nut house. And he sort of thought that was funny. But yeah, I guess maybe I ought to go ahead and tell a few little stories about, you know, about nut house living. And you have all sorts of characters at the nut house. You have people who are indeed insane or nuts as can be. And you have calculating criminals. And you have, well, you have a few people, essentially they go ahead and put you there. And when they put you there, essentially because you are, quote, insane, you essentially anything you write down is ignored because remember you're insane.
Pretty well,
habeas corpus doesn't mean anything. Supposedly the bastion of Anglo-Saxon law and liberty. The thing about it is that when you need habeas corpus, that's when it doesn't amount to anything because essentially they've gone ahead and separated habeas corpus from the criminal thing and made it a civil matter. So here you are, a nut in a nut house. You're insane. You can't write for yourself. And what happens, the public pretender won't go ahead and write you up a habeas corpus because that's a civil matter, not a criminal matter. So therefore you sit in the nut house for forever. And in some cases, pretty well, you know, it's not quite as bad as it was. But, this Joe Lee Loeffner here, he managed to go ahead and, he's quite nuts here. And they were claiming he was a white supremacist until he found out that he was a Jew, too. He was just a nutty Jew. But in any case, they do go ahead and they dope up people, and they do whatever the heck they want. And everything they said about the Soviet prison system when I was a boy, they do today to whoever they want here. And essentially, this government does whatever the hell it pleases. It doesn't really care. And more to the point, it's not even competent anymore. It doesn't know how to run a state government or a county government or a federal government or a world government. And essentially, the population is going downhill. So anyway, Mr. Takai, maybe you'll come to whitenationalist.org, /forum, and let me see. I got Gmail, Pastor Listed at gmail.com.
All right.
And in any case, we're different races and we're different religions. And no, I don't think we're going to go ahead and, agree at all about a lot of things, but I think we both see certain things which are too obvious in that essentially this country is coming, I believe, to, the end of its life here, and that from my Gary, you Buddhists believe in reincarnation or something like that?
That's right. We believe in reincarnation.
And if you live essentially for my Gar, Buddhism was pretty well a change from Hinduism. You don't have to go through 84,000 lives or anything like that. You can go ahead and
Not necessarily. You can achieve nirvana just by breaking, by reaching enlightenment and breaking the circle of samsara, as the Hindus put it, and as us Buddhists put it as well. But the difference between Buddhism and Hinduism is that Buddhism originally said that this is possible for all people, whereas Hinduism said it was just possible for people on the higher caste, I guess, as
higher caste. And
the people on the lower caste were considered once-borns, which is just one...
And the ones who were on the higher caste were the thrice-born, and you do know where the caste system came from, correct?
I believe it came from the color of the invaders, of the people who invaded India, if I'm not mistaken.
Three, 3,500 to 4,000 years ago, these people called Aryans, which meant in Persian, the noble ones, the Persians the Aryans who went ahead and left and got in their ox carts, they had tribal gods just like the just like the Norse and just like the Greeks. They had Zeus and Woden. They had a war god and a number of them. And essentially, they loaded up their ox carts and they headed to defeating these brown people, these black people called the Dravidians. And their main god, just like Zeus or Woden, was called Brahim. And when they went ahead and conquered, they were white Nazi Superman. They went ahead and they conquered. And then they figured out, well, hey, these non-whites outnumber us 100 to 1. If we go ahead and breed with them, they're not going to go ahead. They're going to go ahead and outnumber us. We're not going to be around. We're not going to be. So they set up what was called the caste system, and the word for color was called Varna. And essentially, that was the same word as the thing for class. And they set up at the very top. You have the priest, then you'd have the warriors, then you'd end up having the merchants, and then you end up having the farmers, and then everybody else was, quote, untouchable. And about 1,500 or 1,000 years past, essentially, even though you had this caste system, you had some interbreeding, and by the time Buddha came along, I sort of think he figured out is that what is the purpose of having a caste system when we no longer have essentially pure white people
around?
And essentially what he did is he pretty well set to where anybody could go ahead and achieve enlightenment. And the reason it pretty well died in India is that here came the Muslims and they slaughtered a lot of the Buddhists. It was a warrior's religion for a while, but essentially it pretty well died out. But it went to China, it went to Japan and Tibet and a number of places. It went to Thailand, and pretty well it flourished there, where it didn't flourish in India.
Right.
And the Aryans who stayed behind in Iran, or Aryan, they went ahead and developed Zoroastrianism, which was pretty well the beginning of the Western religions of good versus evil. In the case of dual seed line Christianity, you have, it's called two seed line, it's called dual seed line, because you have a fight between good and evil. And there are pretty well we say is that it started with Adam. I'm pretty well of the belief that Adam was not the first white man. He was the first white man with a soul around 7,000 years ago or so. But anyway, Buddhism was an offshoot of Hinduism, but which was in turn a change between these white invaders and these Dravidians. And pretty well the religion changed as the population changed. But in any case, I think I've kept you for quite some time. This was a fascinating call, and pretty well what I will do is I'll go ahead and I guess I'm going to work on it. I mean, you are a major, major, major celebrity here, and I don't know why exactly. Gosh, as far as Hal Turner's concerned, he entered a halfway house about a week or so ago. He's one hell of a showman, but he's one hell of a liar. I mean, I go ahead and listen to Hal Turner shows, and you will have people who essentially are not white, like this Brian Rio character. What happens? I found out what his real name was and who he really was, and I think he's a homosexual. I'm not for sure about that.
Oh, my.
He's not only a homosexual, he's not white at all here. And in any case, he goes ahead and he plays net Nazi. He goes ahead, he runs around with these other characters. He's still around, but he went ahead and he would play the little game of Linstead's running a racist webpage. He took down about, what, 9 or so of my particular web pages and forums.
Oh my!
He took down these Nimbuster retards, forum. He took down a sort of a homosexual forum, which he got ahead and started. I mean, this little monster went ahead and just screwed, pretty well just screwed the pooch, and he tries to play both sides here, but. In any case, I'll try to go ahead and get it up. Do you have a web page to where there's an email I can go ahead and send a follow up to?
Well, I tell you what, Pastor Lindstedt. How about I don't really like to publicly give out my email, my private email.
No.
But
I'll
tell you this. I will go ahead. What I'll do is I'll go ahead and I'll send you an email to your Gmail address that you've been so kind to send to me. And then, just let me know. Keep me in the loop. Because I'll promise you this. If Hal Turner shows his face on the internet and comes on with his show, I promise you that I'm going to call him in and I'm going to confront him right on his show. That much I can
promise. Well, he would love it, though. I mean, you understand, Hal Turner has no morals, he has no scruples. He's one hell of a showman, though. I gotta grant you that. He's one hell of a showman. You don't have any morals or scruples?
I guess we're gonna find out what kind of a showman he is if he ever decides to rear his ugly head on the internet again.
Well, I don't know. I've heard that he's essentially, for my guess, he's not supposed to be on the internet,
Is that right? Oh.
Well, he doesn't obey. He's not much of a law obeyer, though. That's why he's
down. Oh, is that right?
But in any case, you can see it, PASTORLINDSTEDT. And I'm gonna go ahead and let you off. I'm gonna go ahead and let you go about your business, of course. It has been one heck of a interesting conversation here. This is probably going to be better than the time I had this one maniac screaming at me here sometimes this show has gone ahead and become Jerry Springer Radio in any case, I'm going to let you go and goodbye or hail victory then, okay?
You take care, Pastor Lindstedt. See you later.
All righty. Hail victory. Well, that was one heck of a show, wasn't it? Anyway, folks, I'm going to go ahead and take about 2 or 3 minute break. Hail victory.